Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here. I'm so pumped to talk about the data collection explosion. It's everywhere around us. We're all trying to figure that out. And today we're going to be talking about how data can leverage the business decisions you make. And I'm honored to be bringing in David Haynes from Ideate Software, who will be talking with us about his passion of data. He actually is an integral member of Data Day that we're going to talk about, that if you go back to a lot of the recent episodes where we are the official media partner with Digital Built Week, and there's several different segments from within Digital Built Week, and one of those is Data Day that David's going to be talking about. But here's the deal. We got to figure out how to be better, faster, and stronger as a business, and the data explosion continues without an end in sight. It just keeps becoming more and more and more, but we're trying to figure that out. And firms are struggling with the velocity of this data. Some firms have hired people specifically for data analysis. Other firms are promoting from within. And some firms are ignoring the issue totally. And I think that's most of us. We're honest. We're all just trying to figure that out. We have lots of data, but the issue remains. And I will be asking David, what business questions will data answer? Are we just gathering data because we can? Lock and load. Here we go. Let's go have some fun and get to know David. What's your favorite beverage?
I have two favorite beverages. If I'm out with my friends, it's gin and tonic. All right. And then if I'm with my family, it's a root beer float.
Well, there you go. Love it. I actually tried, they had like the alcohol root beer, kind of like they're starting to mix that, and it just didn't work. I like your, if you're going to go two veins, keep it authentic both ways, right?
Exactly.
What's the favorite place you've traveled?
My favorite place for me and my family is on the big island of Kona in Hawaii. It's our favorite place to go and chill.
Give us one story from your travels there.
Well, my best travel experience in Kona was with my wife, and we decided to just sit on the beach and talk. It was probably the best relationship moment in which we didn't read. We sat for four straight mornings and watched the ocean and talked, and we found out we didn't know some things about each other. And it was sort of a catch up after so many years of marriage.
That's such a cool moment that you just set the stage for us today, because of all the moments most people talk about, this magical jumping off a cliff or this crazy experience and all that. And you say, I just stepped away for a few days and worked on my relationship, as we're always talking about working on your business or in the business. So golden nugget right off the bat. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena? We're constantly trying to break down and understand capturing all this data that we call the art of construction.
Well, you know, my passions change as I go on, but currently my favorite passion is everything about my new Tesla Model 3.
Ooh, you're on the Tesla club. What's your favorite cool thing, or what story you'd say about getting on the Tesla train?
Probably, yeah. The best part about a Tesla is driving it long distance. It has reduced the stress overall with its automatic pilot and all. It is, and the comfortable seats. I can drive forever in my Tesla Model 3, and at the end, I feel refreshed almost.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about David Haynes. What's your story that's led you up to being the director of Ideate Software?
So my background is, I was educated as an architect, so I'm, quote, a recovering architect. I spent 15 years as a commercial general contractor doing design build work. So I designed, built the projects I did, and as time went on, I also got into developing projects and managing them also. So as I like to say, I kind of, on all sides of the liability table. So I kind of know all the players that go into building buildings. About 15 years ago, I was hired by Bob Pagliocca as a director at Ideate. And Ideate, one of its parts is Ideate Software. Ideate Software develops and sells Revit add-ins. And our flagship product, Ideate BIMLink, is a connector between Excel and Revit. And it was our first foray into bringing data in and out of a Revit model. So we're all about the I in the great BIM, which is the information side, rather than only dealing with the graphical 3D model.
So you would say the information is key, as we've had several different conversations around BIM. Go back and look, there's a podcast we did with Benjamin Glunz, the CEO of BIMsmith, and he really educated me the information. You know, there's the building and there's the modeling that is the really exciting stuff, but the information is key. Like we just talked with Hypar, and they talked about the pro forma is the key to your building project.
Yep, those are all elements of it. And so one of the stories I say is, as a educated as an architect, when we put a door swing in a building and we put 3.0x6.8, we started a database. However, that database was kind of siloed. It was graphical markings on a plan. And how do we now leverage that data and break down the silos between designer to architect to builder to owner?
Awesome. So on the introduction, I said I was going to challenge you on our pre-interview. You made a statement of, you know, what business questions will data answer, or are we gathering data because we can? And that just hit me sideways when you, that comment of, we all, it's the thing to do. Yes, I don't think anybody would argue gathering data is key and AI and using all these different platforms, but, you know, or are we just gathering because we can? What's your take on that? And let's kind of go down this vein of data with that statement, David.
Sure. Let me step back just for a second. As part of my job, I see a lot of customers, and I would suggest to you there is still a portion of the AEC industry who says their data is theirs. They don't want to share it. It is proprietary and therefore can't be used for anything else but their own internal purposes. That is slowly changing, but it is a slow process. So many firms right now are gathering data because they can. There's tools out there that will gather lots of data from, let's say, a Revit model, and through programs can produce some visualizations. And when I ask the question, what business decision will this answer, I get a very, you know, blank look. I think the issues get to be for, and they're different. For architects, the issue may be such as things like, I'll give you an experience that I had, is that in my construction experience, I used to do lighting analysis with a light meter after the projects were done. That led me to be a better designer of lighting systems because I knew what worked. What was the spacing? What was the difference between spacing and height? And so that was gathered data on a very fundamental level. So architects really need to gather data to become better architects, better designers, create better buildings. For the, and I say that same thing for engineers. For contractors, their data deals maybe more with performance. There's a lot of great products out there that are now trying to track the issue of production, because really construction is a production process. And so their data is meant for that. For owners, and you've got to separate owners into two categories in my mind, what I call one-time owners and serial builders. And so the Walmarts and the Costcos are two classic examples of serial builders. Also universities are serial builders, in which they're doing, in essence, the same building over and over. Now they're going to need to try and compare. I think those of us in the AEC side of this can really leverage our value to the owner side by being able to show how the data that we've gathered will give them a better building.
Great explanation. And we really have to pare these down in the information into information buckets, if I'm hearing you right, to understand where you fit into the art of construction. And that's when I started this thing, is when we talk about breaking down those silos, it's challenging that of the comment you made of the architect's intellectual property. That's a big game changer of going back to being the master architect, of being the, to put it together for everybody to take and make the production work, versus the intellectual property, I think, is a big part of a lot of platforms out there that can take data and run with it, but it has to work together, right? And that's what sounds like Ideate kind of does. You mentioned Excel or other things that people are used to using. You're plugging into those different buckets and platforms to make them work together. Is that kind of how that works?
That's exactly correct. Our goal at IDEA Software is to increase user productivity. And what we learned very, very simply was that Excel was on everybody's desktop, and that connection of trying to push and pull information back and forth from a Revit model was key, including, and it still plays today, is there's a lot of non-Revit users as part of the building process, and they need to not, their information needs not to be siloed or transition. Meaning, let me give you an example. I give to you information that you have to put into a BIM model. You will probably not get it 100% correct. That's just the nature of the 80-20 process. And so if we can streamline that process and we get real data being put into a BIM model.
Awesome. Well, I had the pleasure of meeting you in person at Digital Built Week a couple months ago, and it was really fun to meet you and all the different people that I walked in there. I was a total fish out of water there, and I challenge people to go to Digital Built Week, but take the time to understand the overall Digital Built Week and understanding the passions that align from within. And what I mean by that is that Digital Built Week North America, I learned about your passion for data. Can you talk through Data Day and kind of some of the talking points around Data Day, how it fits in as you've been, correct me if I'm wrong, on the board and a volunteer, been very involved with this since the beginning?
Yes, we just finished up our fourth year of Data Day in Seattle a couple months ago. And for the last three of those four, I've been Data Day chairperson. And for the first year, I was on the committee. And really, this was started as a discussion between my boss and Wesley Benn, who's chairperson of DBEI, over that data was coming to be such a key part. And so we decided to create this Data Day experience as a one-day event. And it started out as a one-day event in which we talked about how we could set up seminars and trainings that were focused on data alone. And it's grown. And as a recap for last Times Data Day, which is in 2019 in Seattle, we went in 2018 from having about 40 people, and in 2019 we had 135 people. That's a testament, really, to the growth. And it's also a testament to some great marketing done by DBEI. But in the end, people are now starting to talk about data in a much bigger way. We have people at Data Day who come from us that they've just been created to be the digital data master in their company. So they're newbies, all the way up to people who have been involved like Anthony Hawk and Ryan Cameron and others who have been involved in data for a long, long time. And our goal is to really focus on what we started off talking about, Devin, you and I, is how can we make data leverage business decisions? So there's two fronts in Data Day. Presentations dealing with data as part of the AEC community. And we've had presenters such as HiPar. We've had presenters, including Tesla, has presented at last year's. We also had owners starting to present. Alberta Infrastructure presented last year from an owner's perspective. Really fantastic. We also had a presentation done on operations and data. All good stuff. In the second day, we've now expanded to 2 days. And in the second day, we're doing training. And the training and the educational portion is really trying to build up the fundamental of people involved in data. And that includes use of visualization tools such as Power BI and Microsoft Flow.
So to make sure I'm understanding it myself as living it there with being the media partner for Digital Built Week in this 2019 session, is that there's the whole week of all the stuff, and within the week, 2 days of that is Data Day that you explained, that you can come to the whole week, but the people that are really focused on being the data part of that want to be involved, it's kind of like this mini conference in the overarching week that you can take part of everything.
Absolutely. You have it exactly right. I just as some history is that 95 to 99% of the people who attend Data Day also attend the rest of the week. So it's not as though most, if not all, are coming for the entire week, but they're spending the first day before the regular built week starts with Data Day, which is usually a Wednesday. And we're in one room all together. And what's really fantastic, Devin, is the networking that goes on. Because you have all those people with a similar passion in the room. I've made some great acquaintances. We've had some great discussions. We had a great panel discussion last year that really talked about data in general at the end of Data Day. And so besides learning and besides hearing some presentations, there's some great networking that happens during Data Day.
Yeah, and that's so smart to the way it's really hard to say, I'm going to go just to a conference about data. We all understand we need to understand that. But if you can plug that in or bolt onto the overarching of kind of the whole built environment, I don't think anyone would argue that data is not key, that something, if you're going to be in a forward-thinking mentality with construction, that you better get involved, like you mentioned, with learning how to use tools like Power BI, but also understanding the influencers and learning from those as the best ideas are borrowed and executed and just continue to move the needle forward. And so that's what Data Day is, really that portion of Digital Built Week. And that's what we wanted to have this conversation. If you go back and listen to the series of several of the influencers around Digital Built Week, David is the one when we're recapping to say, next year, I'm going to make sure I fly out a day early, and I want to make sure Art of Construction is putting that into the overarching conversation to say, before, during, and after, we're putting all this stuff together to understand how the puzzle fits together. And kudos to you taking this, that starting to the, you know, going from 40 to 135 is, that's what we're talking about, not just blowing up that data everywhere. The people are getting engaged in this as well. So there's a call to action for you in 2020, will it be a similar scenario for the next conference along these strategy lines like we discussed from the previous one?
Absolutely. Let me just add one more thing about 2019. We also added roundtables, which are small 12-person groups that get together and they talk about specific topics. This was our first year doing on Data Day, and I am very excited about continuing that in 2020. So let's talk about 2020 just for a second. First, 2020 is in San Diego for Digital Built Week, for those who don't know. Secondly, the committee, the Data Day committee, the three of us, work very hard to try and set a theme and then ask for abstracts to come in. So we'll be working on that in the very near future. Then I expect what we'll do is continue on, but we're always looking for new ideas and new ways of doing it. I think we're looking at maybe creating some themes or some tracks next year. When it was 40, it was fairly intimate, if I could use that word, 40 people. I was able to shake all 40 people's hands when it was 40. I was unable to shake all 135 people. So we may create some tracks, but we've got to look at what kind of abstracts we come in. We're going to continue the roundtables also, because I think they're very strong. And I think we're going to be looking at what additional education can be done, because I think education is the key. There's a lot of people doing it, but they don't know how to do it yet correctly. So we're going to want to bring in people, outside influences, to try and improve the education side.
Awesome stuff. Well, we'll make sure to put links in the show notes for how people can, if you've listened to these series where we've had a lot of discussion before, we had several podcasts during the week, and now kind of after recapping all of that, to shoot us into 2020 and Art of Construction to be that voice to help pull it together. So thanks for all that explanation on Data Day. I would think we all could need a little bit more mentoring around BIM. You talked about information is really where you live in the BIM world. Can you give us your take on where kind of BIM came from as you've been living a lot of these different segments? Where it is today, and where do you think it's heading with your company Ideate Software working on that information portion of that?
Great question. I come from the very early days of BIM. I was one of the very first users of Revit, maybe not as far back as people like Scott D. Davis, but one of the very early adopters. And in my practice at that moment in time, it was all about how better to show how the design was going to come from. So that's where it started from. People who said there's got to be a better way. The creators of Revit, even who didn't come from the AEC industry, even started off with that kind of notion. How can we make it better? Where it is today is BIM is slowly, well, not slowly, it is almost the industry standard. There's still a few situations out there where other things are being used, but BIM is now the industry standard, and it's what the marker that owners are starting to see. All right, so we've now got the 3D modeling kind of down, and though it has created maybe better coordinated drawings and less problems maybe in the field, where I think it needs to head is where we can get better at the data side. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, is that the silos that still exist, and here's the story I tell from my construction experience, is I would get the drawings done and I'd go out for the very first time to the job site. And there was my superintendent sitting at his desk using colored markers to determine where the embeds were in the concrete. talking about having to relearn things. And even as I go out today, we still have people trying to relearn things at the start of construction that's clearly known by other people in the design process. And so that breaking down of those barriers, and data is the way to do it. I think there's a lot of great products out there that are heading down that direction. And really where I think we're heading is, as a lot of software companies are looking at, is project information management, how the project information can be managed from the start of the job to the end of the job. And with computing power exploding, I think that's a no-brainer. It's trying to get the right fit, and there's a lot of companies trying to do that.
I love it. So the actual data in the BIM modeling can truly help you, when you say spec to secure your vision or work right to left, that's what we mean by that. The information actually transfers through versus the handoff, and then the data drop chasm, or the data is dropping because people are re-learning or reinventing. And every time you do that, we all don't learn the same way, and we learn in different ways. So it becomes this. And is that kind of where, when you say veins, or what did you call it that you're looking at next year for data day? That you're
tracks.
Tracks. So those tracks are those different ways to where we don't need to reinvent everything. I liked how the podcast with Hypar, they talked about, I asked in the room, what are the top things that you would love to not have to recreate? And it's structure and bathrooms. And it's like, there's certain things. And now I'm seeing those items really rise to the top in the offsite world or BIM management, where those items are becoming, we're not reinventing the stuff that is the gooey middle, as Hypar talks about. What's your take on that?
Now, I've had several discussions with Anthony, and Hypar is really leading the way in the Performa side of it. And I've spent a lot of time in Performa. He's really cutting down that process and being able to demonstrate the vision the architect has towards Performa. Another company, TestFit.io, is doing that also, and a great company on that early side. And that's part of the whole process. I don't know that there's going to be one thing that's going to stretch across the entire process. But again, we have a lot of building to do in this world, as there's been many studies done, and we've got to find better ways to get them done. And all of us along the way have to decide what of our past are we going to give up in order to have a more productive future.
Well said. So I challenge people to listen to that Hypar conversation, because there's a lot of similarities, and not one thing's going to do it all. And that's what I love about people like David or Anthony and platforms like Ideate and Hypar. They're not going to do everything, but they understand that part of where they fit into the puzzle and working together to execute a good project. So we've been asking everybody, as the Art of Construction is really focused on connecting technology to handshakes, because at the end of the day, we got to make this stuff work. Like you talked about, there's a lot of stuff that has to be built today. We can't all just be thinking forward thinking. We have to work on today. But if you were to wave that crystal ball for the future with technology and construction, what are some things that would come to mind, how that would look like if we're looking down into the future of how technology with construction is going to change the game and what that's going to look like?
I'm a bit different than most. So I'm going to give you my crystal ball, and we'll see if I'm right 5 or 10 years from now. First, I was involved in pre-production work and doing prefab construction its earliest days. It has its place, but it's not the panacea. I probably think that robotics presently is probably the technology future, is that prefab will do some of that work, but we have a lack of construction tradespeople. And how are we going to overcome that? I agree, some of the STEM work and other thing that's being done where they're putting people out into the field is great stuff. I said, but I think robotics is where we end up. If you look at the car industry as being the prototype of where manufacturing might be, robotics is going to be the key. Who's going to put on simply the siding? Can't be done by prefab because there's too many connectors. So it's going to have to be some sort of machinery that did that. That started in the construction world, believe it or not, in computerized grading, where a machine did the grading. I've been out on many a job site with finger up trying to decide how much dirt to move. Well, when computers took over that and robotics took over that, they were able to refine the grading process greatly. I think that moves forward into other portions. That does not mean that prefab goes away. Prefab will be used, I've used a phrase, the ugly middle or the sticky middle. I still believe bathrooms and those kind of things might be, but the giving of all buildings looking alike will not happen. So there's got to be some way to have the creativity on the outside and the combination of the pieces. So I think robotics is where the future is going to be.
Yeah, that, I would. There's a lot of lessons there that as I listen to the leaders in this industry give me that crystal ball, and I'm trying to connect those as a business owner. And that's what this podcast is for, is like, how do we take and make this work for your business? And robotics is a really interesting one, because locally in Colorado, I own a window and door company. As I listen to all this stuff about your business is going to go away, it's not going to go away, but you do have to change and adapt. And I think the word that really hit home for me on that is stitching. And you're talking about how to, whether it's panelization, components, bathrooms, you know, what becomes systemized. And we call that system build lifestyle, where we did 15 podcasts where I personally went to school because I was jaded out of college. I went to work for a modular company for a little while, and I was not impressed at all, because I like to think outside the box. And they were all about how a box goes down the line as efficient as you can and market around that, which makes sense if you really think about that. But now it's all being disrupted, and robotics is that whole on the site of how do you do that. And right now I see a lot of stuff of disruption of the guy trying to move a sheet of drywall with a robot. That's not what we're talking about replacing humans. It's augmenting in a way is a big part where I would say robotics. What's your take on that?
I think I agree with you. However, the amount of workforce that's going to go into construction, I don't think is going to increase. So robotics is going to have to fill the need of those jobs. And whether that's hanging drywall, whether it's doing siding, whether that is laying concrete, finishing concrete, all of those have possibilities on the robotic side. I think it's a combined future, not a lone future. What I mean by a lone future, that prefab is going to carry the day and everything's going to happen prefab. Don't believe in that. I think it's going to be a combined future of some prefab, some robotics, and some humans to solve what is called the wicked problem.
And that's what I love about the people I've met through Digital Built Week, is we're saying there's not one thing that's the holy grail. It's taking these different components and massaging those to make it work. So that's really cool. On the we've heard robotics, but it's funny how everybody's answer, it's different but the same, right? And that's why it's been so fun having consistency as king of asking these questions in a repetitive way to people in the AEC industry. We're all trying to break down these silos and solve the problem of not enough people and not enough ways to get all the construction done. So, and we're all over budget, so we have to be efficient. So that's where that question really helps. So I want to send you off, that we ask everybody from the first episode to the 100 plus we've done. David, of the years of being involved in the art of construction, what is that one thing you want to dangle the carrot and have people thinking about for contractors and affiliates to grow their business?
Here's the one thing I learned, unfortunately, late in my life, and I wish I would have known coming out of college, that nothing beats meeting your customers and talking about their problems, not your solution, but their problems. So I would invite all contractors, affiliates, to reach out to their customers. Everybody's got a customer, and find out what is keeping that customer up at night, and then discuss how you might be able to help them do that. You will find your business grow. You will find you'll have happier customers and more repeat customers.
Awesome. Great stuff. Well, Art of Construction is big fans of what you're doing with Ideate and the being part of Data Day. We're honored to be affiliates with that. Thanks so much for coming in and talking about data and shedding some awesome light on that. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Data is key. You can't argue with that. And the big thing that I want to challenge your Art of Construction tribe is find out if you can make Data Day 2020, but be part of the whole Digital Built Week. This is kind of the last in that series, but there's many more conversations and fireside chats coming up from that, because when you get out and work on your business and meet people face to face, it's a different type of connection. And there's so many great people that I've met from that. And David is definitely one of those. And he has so many information around the BIM that is really valuable for us all. So I challenge you to go to Data Day and be one of the trailblazers as they went from 40 to 135. I can tell you those 135 people that were at that event, those are the people I want to be. So hopefully I meet you there as they double it again and we all crush it together because we know data is king. But if we're all honest about it, we're all trying to figure out how, why, what, when. We're a platform for that. Crush it out there, tribe.